This morning, Reverend Bob and Mary Holland from Jamaica, one of the missionaries we support six or eight, I think, every month, and we've known these folks for a long time. Just say a long time, right? A long time, 25, 30 years, and it was several months ago they knew we'd be in town, so we scheduled them to come in, and we're delighted to hand. So if you can give them a warm welcome, invite Mary to come forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Am I on? Okay. Well, good morning. Bob and I are really happy to be back here and to be with you. And I'm going to give the little update on the ministry, and Bob's going to bring the word this morning. So first of all, I bring greetings from our three sons in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Many of you have met Ramondo, and we're happy to announce that he will be married this time in 2 weeks. He has a wedding October 13th. He met a wonderful girl at college, and she knows the Lord, and they have a lot of common things with children ministry in common, and so we're very excited about it. He wanted desperately to be here this morning, but he's in the middle of exams, and I don't think his fiance would want him coming to Ohio when they're trying to do the details, but he does send his greetings. I think about when we raised all of those boys, and Ramondo really was the youngest one we ever took. He was six, and he's the final one that we're sending off, and yet he's like our own son. But I always said that I wanted to raise some girl's dream, not her nightmare. And so it brings us joy to say to Amaya, there's your dream, we raised your dream. And she believes that. And Kimarley, who you all know, is our Jamaican son that we adopted, and he has been in the States for all of last year, and I spent a good part of last year in the States doing his immigration and trying to get all of that settled. He's waiting for his final interview, and when he gets that, then he should be good to go. And so we're all excited. We ask you to keep praying that that happens quickly and soon. And our birth son, Bryce, continues to do well in what he does as a chef. And I think about what a servant's heart he has and how much love he has to open up his apartment to his two Jamaican brothers, and the three of them live together as one. So we're really pleased with that. But last spring, when we went to go back to Jamaica, you know, sometimes you need a lamppost that lights your way, and it starts to dim and get dark, and you think, Lord, are we really supposed to be there? Do we continue on? And we need a fresh vision. We need a lamppost to go on, to go to that next thing. And the Holy Spirit said, you have a place of safety. And that really was a rhema word. Now, I can say for me, I believe for Bob too, that we've lived in that rural community for over 30 years. And there's a place of respect for that that gives us a platform and a voice into that community. And we have a steady flow of young people that come to our house. In the evenings, they come, we're the only place that has the internet in the community. And so they sit on the veranda and they're all on their devices and they're playing games, and I'll cook a treat, or they just want to be there. And we know it's a safe place. It's safe in the spirit, it's safe mentally, emotionally, and a place for them to come. And, you know, the word says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and find safety. And whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And so we believe that that's what we're to provide. So we also have three young men that we're mentoring, and I'm going to turn the picture on here because I have a few pictures. Now, that smiling face is Papa. He's the only one of the three young men that we're mentoring that actually lives with us. He's in our house now taking good care of things. And you can see there, he's with two of our teachers that came this summer, and he loves the guests. You can tell that's a big bowl of ice cream he has, and he just loves to be that host. So these three young men are between the ages of 18 and 20, They've graduated from high school, and they're in that transition to find their place in the world, to become men, to get jobs, to be trained. And so, Papa, we will go back to his graduation from welding school, and he will be ready to join the workforce. And Javon also graduated with culinary, and we're in the process of seeing him get a job. And Solomon is the third young man. So the next slide that I have, this is the crowd that was at our Summer Youth Hope Infusion. That's our front yard. And you can see we put that big banner out there to draw everybody in. And we had 35 teens and from our rural community who came every day. And the theme was Come Find Your Safe Place. And so the next slide that I have, I think, there, that's on our veranda. We probably have more outdoor space in the house than we have indoor space. And so we just made classrooms. That's Pastor Colette Oliver from Melbourne, Florida. She led praise and worship, and she taught the class on who is their safe place and how do they access that safe place. And every one of those teens, I would say, made a decision for Christ during the time that they were there, if they had not already. So we are blessed with that. Now, this, you look at this, in the afternoons during the youth program, we had entrepreneurial skills, and they made products to sell. And they learned how to make a catalog, sales catalog. They learned how to do order sheets. They learned how to go out into the community. And so what we did was we bought from Michaels and AC Moore, and every time they had a sale, and little wooden boxes. And the girls made those jewelry boxes. And they're all lined with felt. And that was one of their products in the afternoon. Now, that one's a little hard to see. But they also made no-sew pillows. They picked out the fabrics, had the inserts, and they could do these without a sewing machine. And that was one of our young girls. Her name is Yoshika. They call her Poochie. Jamaicans love pet names and nicknames, so she's Poochie. And that was her finished product. And then this is a group of young people working on egg tray reading aids. We take egg trays, we save the egg trays, and you get the plastic eggs like we have at Easter, and you put beginning letters and ending letters on both sides, and they twirl the egg to learn how to read a group of words. And when they can read those words, they open up the egg and get their treat. So we have an outreach to the basic schools, about 50 children between the ages of 3 and 6. So the first fruits of their production had to be the egg trays. Every youth had to make an egg tray. And we presented those to the basic school before we left Jamaica. So here's a picture. A little hard to see Melissa, but that's her finished egg tray, ready to deliver. We inspected them, quality control, and it was ready to go. I have to say, Melissa's only 13. It was her first time at Youth Infusion, and she was the highest seller. She went out to the churches. She went to the community. She must have harassed her neighbors. She was the highest seller, and she won the prize. I have to tell you, too, that all of the teachers and New Beginnings themselves bought the supplies, and 100% of the profits went to the youth. And if we had a 50-50 proposition, if they made it and sold it, they got 100% of the profit. If they made it and one of the others sold it, they did a 50-50, and they had to keep records of that. And it worked out really well. In fact, a lot of the youth are from extremely poor situations, and I said, would you like to continue this and build on this? And I have a group that really caught the vision. So when we go back, they're going to do it for the Christmas season, and we'll include a Bible study with it so that they'll get spiritual food and they'll be able to learn how to run a business and how to make a profit that will help them go to school and help their families. Let me see here. This It was World Cup this summer, for all those that like to follow soccer. They call it football. And you cannot compete with that in Jamaica with something different. So we had to include a mini World Cup in the afternoon. So this is some of our young men, and they're making their goalposts. And what the what the goalpost is an old, worn, fitted mattress cover. And they took them out and hooked them to their poles. The only problem was when it rained, the water caught inside, and they became like big balloons. But they had a lot of fun, and there they are playing one of the afternoons. And the final picture that I have, we also did an escape room. You know how they're really popular now. And so one of the teachers said, I'm going to come prepared. We're going to set up a safe room. And it was come find your safe place. And you couldn't get out of the escape room till you found Jesus. And so they went in the room three at a time. And these three young men, and the one in the yellow shirt and the one in the middle, they've come to summer school and they both want to be pastors. Well, they're both very in love with the Lord. The middle one wants to be a pastor. The one with the yellow shirt wants to be a cardiologist. And he's very bright, and it might just happen for him. And the gentleman, Nicard, was his first time coming the whole time. But they escaped the room in 6 minutes. And that beat everybody. That really beat everybody. So that's their proud moment of victory there inside the room. So I'm going to finish that part. And I just want to end with asking you to join us in faith and belief for a prayer need that we have. When we went back to Jamaica, April 13th, within 48 hours, we had a major car accident. And a car ran a stop sign. We were coming home from church with four young men in the back of the truck and Bob and I, and we broadsided them very badly. And God miraculously preserved us in the truck, did not miraculously preserve the truck. And so for the last 5 months, we've been without a vehicle. And it's a little difficult to run all the ministry. We rent a little Suzuki car from Saturday afternoon to Sunday afternoon so we can shop on Saturday afternoon and go to church on Sunday morning and return the car. So we're believing in faith for a vehicle when we go back. And so we have raised $6,000. We believe we need about $15,000 to buy something that is going to work over there for the ministry. So we just ask you to be in prayer for that and be in prayer for us. And we thank you so much for your partnership and being together all these years. Amen. So I'm going to turn it over to my wonderful husband, and I know he has a good word, so I'm going to give it to him.
Is it on now? It's on now. I'm on. Good to be back. Good to see so many that we know. We thank the Lord that you're all healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen? Well, today's message is called, and I'm not going to dilly-dally around, but today's message is called, Don't Be a Bone Alone. Don't be a bone alone. Ephesians 5 and verse 30 says, For we are members, parts of his body, his flesh, and of his bones. My question to everyone, and you don't need to answer, are you saved? Because if you're not saved, you're a bone alone. Amen? Amen. Let's see here now, this thing, if I can get it to work. Oh! There's a building. Let's call it a frame. Amen? I used to be a union bricklayer. Did it for many years. And, of course, I didn't work in house construction. I worked in big buildings. And I didn't care how many bricks you put on it, how many blocks you put on it. If you didn't have a proper frame, boom, down it would go. Amen? So we are members, parts of his body, and of his flesh and of his bone. The word member there means a limb or a part of the body. The frame, what holds it together, is so very important. Amen? Look at Psalms 139. I thank the Lord that I'm here today. I thank the Lord that this word will minister to you and change your life as it has changed mine. Psalms 139 and verse 15 says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." And the word frame there in a Message translation is bone. And then if we look over at Psalms 103 and verse 14, it said, "For he knows our frame." Jesus knows our frame. God knows our frame. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we can withstand. He knows what we can do. You hear? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And the word frame here is bone in many translations, or a supporting structure. The word bone means a section of a skeleton. Oh, let me look here now. Oh. Now, you see that bone? If I was to take that bone in real life and bring it out here and stand it up there on the floor, boom, gone down. Can't be a bone alone. You'll fall over. You'll stumble. You'll get beat up. You'll make mistakes. Even the dog may get a hold of you. Don't be a bone alone. The word bone means a section of a skeleton. And the word section indicates something incomplete, a part of the whole. The bone can't function without the rest of the skeleton. It still is full, even though it can't function, it is still full of the DNA. The DNA equals makeup of something. The combination features of that make something what it is. Every seed contains the DNA or makeup of what the seed is to become. Look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12. And God said, And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and a tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Amen? Amen. I'm doing all right? Okay, let's go now to Jeremiah. This is, I think, the most important part of this. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. It says there, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Wait a minute. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That kicks abortion in the butt, don't it? Huh? Now, if somebody has gone through that, don't feel guilty. God is a great forgiving God. But abortion is not in God's plan. Neither is aborting anything that he's called you to do. It's not in his plan. God's plan is for us to be successful, to be a light to our community. As Mary was sharing, we're a safe place. Every parent, every child, everyone in our community knows they can come to our house and be safe. Amen? Amen. And that's the way you are. You're a safe place for everyone that comes in contact with you. Some people go to Walmart and never say anything to anybody, but yet they have the anointing of the Lord in them. Is there Walmart near here? Oh, we may have to see that, huh, Mary? I love Walmart, you know. Serious. You're in Walmart. There's no reason why you can't bless somebody with a little love. A little hello. Or the food market. Many times, I don't say this to brag or anything. My wife don't even know I do this unless she's with me. If I see someone in a line in front of me that I know by what they've bought, they don't have very much. So I just pass my credit card up and pay for it. And they look at you. I don't want to know your name. That's what I say to them. It's okay. And they leave, and then they don't know what to do. Amen? But they know that God has blessed them. Not the white man, God. Because they don't know my name. Amen? So it says there, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, made you special. Some of you may think you're a nobody, but you are a somebody. You're a somebody. And you're a somebody to somebody. Always be open to the Lord to lead you. Amen? I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh Lord, but I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Wait a minute. Doesn't matter how old you are. Ooh, I'm getting the chills. Doesn't matter how old you are. When God ordains you, you're special. And he's got people, young lady, he's got people for you to touch. Two young ladies. I know she looked at me because I was looking at the other one. She looked at me. You're included. Oh, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go into all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Don't look at what it is. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of it, because the Lord is with you. I wonder if we really know that wherever we go, Jesus goes. That whatever we do, he's there watching it. When you sin, he's right there with you while you're sinning. I wonder if we ever think about that. And don't tell me you don't sin, you'd be lying. He's right there. But he's not right there to condemn you. He's right there to forgive you. He's right there to inspire you. He's right there to lift you up and let you know who you really are. Something special. That you have something in you to touch that next person. Amen? Amen? Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Wait a minute. This didn't begin off saying John Doe, Mary Lou. Oh, there's Mary Lou there. That's for all of us. That's why I asked that you're saved, because if you're not saved, this can't apply to you. You have to be saved. You have to be a Christian. You have to be a child of God for this to apply to you. So maybe when you go to witness to somebody, you say, hey, do you want the power of God? They'll say, yeah. Well, you need to get saved. And you will have that power. We're that important. Here? We are that important that God wants to fill us with his power. With his abilities, with his love, with his kindness, with his healing power. Not only has he given each of us our own fingerprints, because we're special and different, amen? Our own DNA, amen? Our own ears, now, really, serious. And nobody got ears like you got. Some of us have big floppy ears. Some of us have them very close. But everybody's ear is different because we're different, made different. We're special. In the seed of who you are, he has given us our own uniqueness, our own anointing, and our own talents. Is this okay? A bone by itself has no real power or strength. Should I pick three people out? We can't stand up and move on our own. We need other bones to help us fulfill our function. Amen? The uniqueness about those three guys, girls, whatever they are, we don't know, is that they're working together and they're in step. Right foot, they all got the right foot out. They're working together. They're in step. They're specially anointed. I'm sure we could pick three people out here that would fit that. What kind of bone are you? Are you a pastor bone? Are you an evangelist bone? Are you an usher bone? By the way, you know, who meets the people first when they're coming into church? The greeter at the door, the ushers. What an important job. You're the first impression the visitors get. They meet you before they meet the pastor. Unless the church is so small that the pastor's got to be the usher too. No, serious. An usher bone, a kindness bone. Did you know that's a calling, to be kind? You don't know who you're, we say buck up to, who you're going to meet in Walmart or Costco. Is there a Costco close by here? Yeah? Or Costco. You hear that, Mary? There's a Costco. Are you a provider bone? Are you a provider bone? Do you support the church? Do you support missions? This church is a provider bone. I used to have a person gave me five, remember that lady? $5 every month. Do you know? I looked forward to that. She's gone now. But I still remember that. $5. Some people say, what will $5 do? It blessed me. It blessed Mary. That she gave what she could give. Amen? And I'm sure that God has taken well care of her. I'm sure she's sitting right up there with him. Amen? I used to ask God, what am I? Me, what am I? What is my role in the body? I'm sorry, excuse me. He told me I am a father. So I guess I'm a father bone. One thing we don't want to be is a bone out of joint, or a broken bone, or a leg bone hooked to the shoulder. We don't want to be out of place. We want to be in our right position in the skeleton so we can be as effective as God has called us to be. Now, the word alone, the core meaning of the word alone means without any other person or thing nearby. It means without help from others. But we need to remember we're not alone. We are part of a body. The body of Christ and the fellowship we belong to. You're not alone. Look around. No, seriously, look around. See what you're part of? You're part of that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 in the God's Word translation says this. Instead, as we lovingly speak the truth, we will grow up completely in our relationship to Christ, who is the head. He makes the whole body fit together and unites it through the support of every joint. As each and every part does its job, he makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If we will just pray and ask God, what bone am I? And then step into fulfilling the job of that bone in this fellowship and in the body of Christ, man, miracles will take place. Things will happen that we never even thought could happen. Amen? Therefore, as we seek God, keeping his word, speaking the truth, but not tale-bearing, not gossiping. Even if you know the truth about somebody, shut your mouth. God don't appreciate that. You hear? Showing godly love. As we seek God, keeping his word, speaking the truth but not tale-bearing, showing godly love. Respect and submission to others, we will grow in him, the head of the body, attached to one another bones. And then we won't be a bone alone. But we will be united force, body, fulfilling the will and purpose of God. And therefore, don't be a bone alone. I want this to ring in your head for a long time. Don't be a bone alone. Understand that you are a bone of something big. The vision of the fellowship ministry you are part of. And also, in a larger picture, the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of both. Amen? I remember at the end of our Youth Hope Infusion, the last day, we had a big banquet meal together. Everybody's sitting down, eating. Miss Lynette from across the street, who was a fantastic cook, she cooked all the food. And at the end of it, then different things were going on, and the teenagers were doing different things, dancing, and all kind of different things. I just felt at the end, I said, the Lord just said to me, pray for every one of them. So I went up to the front, stopped the proceedings of what was going on. I said, I want to pray for everyone. Please line up starting here. Do you know that not one teenager refused to come up? All 35 of them came up there. And I laid hands on every one of them. We know that the Youth Hope Infusion has changed their lives. Amen? So don't be a bone alone. Do what God is telling you to do. Be part of the body that you're called to. Be part of the body of Christ worldwide. Do what God has asked you to do. Amen? I'm done, Pastor. You know how I am, right? I get done, right? But we're pastors in charge now. So we're here to pray also for anyone that wants prayer. So what happens? Hey.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you. Invite the worship team to come forward.
Sorry?
I invite the worship team to
come forward. Oh, okay.
As they're coming forward, I would like to take another special offering for the Hollins and their ministry. If you're making out a check, make it out to New Hope Christian Fellowship, or just the initials, and we'll convert it all over. We want to be sure that we bless him. We understand this is